read the instruction book. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and get into it. This is really a Bible study tonight. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, starting at verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Make sure. And that from a child thou hast known the what?
Holy Scriptures.
Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Listen to this word Scripture here again. Amen. I forget. I think Scripture, the word Scripture, I was looking at it back there. The word Scripture, I think, is listed 32 times. Amen. In the Word of God, I think maybe the book of Daniel I saw was one of the Old Testament references, but most of the rest of them were in the New Testament. But a lot of the New Testament references to the word Scripture is referring back to the Old Testament, what God said back then.
That's
amen.
Right. Yeah.
So I tell you what, God's Word is powerful. Amen. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect,
yep,
thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Really, my thought here tonight is the question, is this right here, do you believe, do we really believe that this right here is God's Word?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And if we believe it's God's Word, do we believe it's God's perfect Word?
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So that's my thoughts tonight. Amen.
Yes, in Lord.
And we have met here tonight because we believe in the Bible. Amen.
Right.
We believe in the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible, and the plan of salvation in which this Bible reveals unto us. Everything we believe is based upon this book right here.
Right.
Woo, amen. I didn't know so much of it. I have studied other religions very little, some. Amen. I didn't understand, didn't know, but the Book of Mormons, amen, some fellow one time come up with a bunch of thoughts, amen.
Yeah.
And he based a religion, a doctrine upon his thoughts. Amen. Your thoughts will mess up one day.
Right.
Right. Did you know that our founding fathers came up with what we call the Constitution of the United States of America? That was a great constitution, amen, that governed the people back then, hundreds of years ago.
Right.
But since then, that constitution has been amended numerous of times.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Why? Because as America grew, so its laws had to grow. Amen. But all I come to tell you tonight, amen, this book right here, amen, has never needed one amendment. Amen. It's never needed to be added to. Amen. Once it was completed, we'll get into that in a moment. Amen. But it's never needed to be amended, not one time. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything we believe either stands or falls upon the accuracy of this book right here. Amen. Glory to God. So therefore, it's very imperative that we know why we believe what we believe about this Bible right here. Amen. Glory to God. And I still, we haven't done it yet, but I want us to get a paper. And I've asked them that. Maybe I can get it here tonight after church. Amen. And get us a paper. I really want this to be I want it to catch hold. Competition, if you want to call it that. Or if you don't want to call it that, obligation, if you will. Amen. On who's read the Word of God through this year. Amen. I tell you, I feel like it's very important that we ought to read the Word of God. Amen.
Yes, right.
Amen. I mean, read it and read it and read it. Praise God. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to get into some of this in a moment, but We, right here at Good Shepherd Holiness Church, are a holiness church. Amen. And we believe things. Amen. And if you live something and you believe something, you need to know why you live that and why you believe that.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know why.
Amen. And there's a lot of things that we do. If a lady doesn't cut her hair, then she ought to know why she doesn't cut her hair. Amen. And if somebody asks you, why do you do that? The first thing out of your mouth ought not be that old preacher I got down there preaches against it. Amen. And that's a good answer. Hallelujah. You ought to have a preacher that preaches against sin. Amen. But that ought not to be the first response out of your mouth, because my church preaches against it. You ought to know what the Bible says about it. Amen. Great God. You ought to study that. If you're going to live that, then you need to know, amen, what the Word of God says about it. You ought to be able to take him to Corinthians chapter number 11, amen, and tell them what God says about it, amen. And if we don't believe in painting our face up like Jezebel, and yeah, it's really in there, amen, and yeah, the Bible is against that, and we don't believe in adorning ourselves with gold and jewelry and all such things as that, and you don't believe in that, then we ought to know why we don't believe what we don't believe, amen, what the Bible says against, amen, how and what and why we believe what we believe, amen. And it ought not just be because that's where my mom and dad talking, that's where grandpa lived, that's where grandma lived, that's where the church lived. Oh no, you ought to get down on your knees, amen, and pray it through and say, oh God, show me what your word says, amen. God, show me what the Bible really teaches. You ought to have a hunger in your heart to know what God says. Amen.
That's it.
Woo, hallelujah. A good word that describes the Bible is unique.
Yeah.
You know what the dictionary says unique means? Amen. Hallelujah. Only one of only. Only one. Hallelujah. Being the only one of his kind, better than others, superior to all others, unusual, different from others in a way that makes, amen, something worth note. Hallelujah. Ah, this book right here is unique.
Yes, it is.
Did you know the Bible was written over 1,500 year span of time? Amen. The Bible was written by over 40 different authors. Among those authors were kings, military leaders, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, tax collectors, poets, statesmen, musicians, scholars, and shepherds. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible was written in different places at different times by different people in different moods. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yes. Did you know the Bible was written on three different continents? Amen. It was written in Asia, Africa, and Europe. Amen. The Bible was written in three different languages. It was written in the book of the language of Hebrew, amen, Greek, and Aramaic. Hallelujah. The Bible is written with many different literary styles. Hallelujah. And I made mention of this sometime back in preaching. Amen. Do you know that this book right here is still the all-time number one bestseller? Amen. New York, number one bestseller of the year. It'll sell a bunch of copies this year, but it'll get cold next year. Amen. But did you know this book right here consistently, year after year, hundreds of years now, amen, has been an all-time number one bestseller. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible addresses hundreds of different issues without not one single contradiction of itself. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm talking about a perfect book. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible achieves its uniqueness, amen, through the process that we know what the Bible said right here of inspiration. Hallelujah. Lainey, if you will, I got some notes here tonight. This is one of the probably few times I've ever did this. Lainey or Reese, want to come up here and hand these out? I only got 15. Some of you may need to share. I didn't know how many that would be here tonight, I got two pages. Everybody can share two pages. Two pages of my notes here tonight. Amen. Page number two of six, it'll say. And then the other one is 101. It'll be the last one we use. Amen. So I want you to get to this. I'm almost on page number two. Hallelujah. Great God. But the Bible was inspired of God. Amen. Do you know what that means? Inspired, Brother Tom. It means God breathed.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
God breathed His word.
Right.
Amen. And to the holy men of old, the Bible teaches, as they wrote while they was inspired by God Himself. Amen. Oh yes, that's what we know as inspiration. And that's where we take up on your page number two right there. Amen. Oh yes, amen. So how can the Bible be inspired? Number one right there is through revelation. Hallelujah. God used varying means to give His revelation to men.
Right.
And I gave you this so we wouldn't have to read 40 verses here tonight. I want you to go home and do some homework. Amen. I've given you homework tonight. Praise
right.
God. If you don't get to read it tonight, amen, read it tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. But oh, God revealed Himself through angels. Amen. Look right there.
Yeah.
And it gives you all the verses, or a lot, several verses, how that God revealed Himself through angels. Hey God, He revealed Himself through an audible voice. God audibly spoke multiple times throughout His word. He spoke in a still small voice. Oh yes. Amen. He spoke through nature. He spoke through animals. He spoke through dreams. He spoke through visions. And He spoke through Christophanies, which means manifestations of Christ. Amen. That's how God spoke.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh yes. For the prophecy came not in the old time. Peter said, amen, by the will of man, but holy men of God. Amen. Did you hear that? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh yes. Revelation is God telling a man what He wants written down. I believe God spoke to holy men, Brother George, and He said, here's what I want written down. And they said, yes, Lord. And they wrote down the word of God. I've never been inspired of God to write down His holy word. But as a preacher of the gospel, I have been inspired of God to preach His word. I have felt the inspiration of God. I have experienced the inspiration of God. And so therefore tonight I believe in the inspiration of God. There's not one doubt in my mind that from Genesis to Revelation, thank God, that one word in here is incorrect. That one sentence is misleading. I believe 100% of this book right here tonight was inspired and given by God Himself.
Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So not only the revelation, the next part there on your notes, through inspiration.
That's right.
This is a man writing on paper what God told him to say. And as we've already seen here, it means God breathed. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Bible clearly claims inspiration for itself. Amen. Even in our text tonight, in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes, and I gave you some other ones there that you can look up later, talking about how that God inspired. Amen. Inspiration from the word. Paul believed his writings were inspired of God, and he gives us several references there of how that Paul said his words were inspired because God told him to write them down. Amen. And Paul wrote 13 books in this Bible right here. So Paul ought to know what inspiration is and what it feels like. Amen.
Right. That's right.
Peter believed his writings were inspired.
Woo.
Peter believed the writings of Paul was inspired because he said so. Hallelujah. And we give you the references right there. Amen. Great God in heaven. Save your other page for just here near the end. Amen. But God gave his word to human authors.
Amen.
Yes. That's what I believe. And that's what I believe the Bible teaches. Amen. Hey God, the last process before we move on here, you don't have this in your notes. I didn't give you all my notes here, but the last process is illumination, the process by which God uses the inspired written record of his revelation to speak to the hearts of individuals. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard a message preached and God illuminates that verse in your heart?
That's it.
Have you ever heard a song sung?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard somebody jump up with a joyful heart and testify?
Woo.
And that scripture, sure, that verse gets illuminated in your life. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Woo. Amen. What does that mean? God shines the light on it. Amen.
Yeah.
And when God shines the light on that in your life, it'll change you for the rest of your life. Woo. Hallelujah.
Woo.
I'll never forget when God illuminated his word to my heart. Amen. Woo. I tell you, it changed old Jason. Amen. Glory to God. I said it changed me when he illuminated his word in my heart. Amen. Hey God. Amen. Oh, the proofs. Let's look at it here. So how can we really be sure that God's word was God breathed? How can we really be sure, amen, that God's word was really inspired by God himself?
Come on.
Amen. Great God. Well, the bottom line,
yes, and Lord,
is that a lot of it comes down to faith. But faith is never a blind leap in the dark.
No.
Our faith can not rest in the fact, amen. Our faith can rest not just in the fact that God personally believed his word, amen, but that his word will stand up to the test of time.
Right.
Woo, hallelujah. Hold on to your seatbelt.
Yes,
praise God. Amen. Did you know, and I think Brother Tom mentioned science earlier. I'm gonna mention that in a moment, but God's word stands up against science.
Yeah.
Amen. God's word stands up against the archaeological tests of the time. Amen. Archaeologists' spades have uncovered many items from the ancient past that confirm the factual nature of God's word. Amen. There's been many passages in this book, amen, that history, thank God, and archaeology have tried to dispute in the past and say it was not so, because we've never seen anything such as that for years. Men said that a place called Ur of the Chaldees never existed. Then proof was discovered, amen, and proved that it was when archaeologists uncovered some artifacts. Amen. Oh yeah, history. Amen. Could not believe that Joseph, listen to this, amen, an Israelite, great God, a Jewish descendant, actually ruled and had power down in a place called Egypt one time. Oh, but listen to this. Amen. It was a tablet was found in Yemen. Amen. It seems that, listen, great God, that it was a clay tablet was found in the tomb of a rich woman whose record here, amen, states that she went down, great God, to Egypt to buy grain from a man by the name of Joseph. Hallelujah. Great God, they've got the artifacts. Amen. As we speak tonight. Amen. The seal of Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe, has been found. Jezebel's makeup saucers have been found. Brick in Egypt, amen, great God, had been found that was made without straw, just like the Bible says. Said it was.
Yeah.
The death of Jesus Christ himself can be proven historically. We divide time, amen, by the years before Christ and the years after Christ. Oh, I come to tell us tonight, his word is perfect. I come to tell us tonight, you can stake your life upon this word right here. And one question I have for us, why don't we love it like we should? Why don't we read it like we should? Why don't we put our lives upon it like we ought to? Amen.
Yes, Lord.
The kind of accuracy.
Thank you, Lord.
Is something else that no other religions can claim. The Mormons can't back their religion up by history, archaeological facts.
You're right.
Woo, no other religion on earth can do such a thing. Hallelujah. Woo, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Not only does it pass the archaeological test, but it passes, as Brother Tom said earlier, the scientific fact. Amen. Yeah. Right here's where I need a couple readers. Brother John, get me Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 22. Brother Tommy, if you don't mind, give me Job 26 and 7. Brother George, you got your Bible with you tonight. Amen. Get us Genesis. Amen. 15 and 5. Hallelujah. 15 and 5. Amen. Get ready. They're getting ready. Read us these verses. Amen. But oh, I said the word of God passes, amen, the scientific test. Amen. Did you know for years that man thought the earth was flat? Amen. Oh, yes. That's why many years ago they wouldn't sail very far, amen, into waters unknown, because they thought they would sail and they'd fall off the face of the earth. They thought it was flat. Amen. Thank God. But did you know, amen, that long before man ever knew that by the earth was round, God knew it, amen, all the way back from the beginning. Amen. Tell us, Brother John, what Isaiah 40 and 22 says.
Is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, woo, and inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in.
Woo. Yes, Lord.
That bringeth the princes to nothing, maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, that their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble.
Praise God. Right. Read that first sentence for me one more time. Here's my key part of this verse.
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth.
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth.
Right. Yeah.
God knew it was circular shape, a spear shape. From the beginning.
It's right.
Woo, amen. It's right. You know why? Because God's the one that made it.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Woo, I feel like shouting. Amen.
Right.
Oh, yes. Amen. The Bible scientists now have mega telescopes. In Abraham's day, there was only 1,200 stars. When God spoke to Abraham, amen, there's only about 1,200 stars visible to the naked eye. I don't know if they had some type of telescopes, but even small telescopes, really the stars can be numbered, amen. But in our day, we have special telescopes that can look far past the earth's little dimension, amen. And there's stars beyond stars, and stars beyond that, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's in the Bible. God spoke to Abraham, said, Abraham, amen, I'm going to bless you as your seed, and it's going to be innumerable like the stars in the heaven. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I come to tell us, God knew that man can't put a number on the stars. Amen. And God knew, amen, he put the earth in the middle of nothing, and he spinned it like a globe on your desk, and it's still spinning today.
Amen.
Woo! Did you hear that?
Yes.
What makes it spin? God makes it spin.
That's right.
Amen. Science teaches you that it's on an axis. It ain't on nothing. That's just what we call an axis. They think it's on something. Amen. But the earth's hanging out there in the middle of nowhere, and it orbits around the sun.
Right.
Woo. Yeah. Spinning, Brother George.
Yeah.
Amen. And it goes around every 24 hours one time.
Man.
Why it's spinning? Amen. It goes around the sun.
Yeah.
And it creates the different seasons of the year.
Come on.
Woo, who had Job? Was that you, Brother Tommy?
Yeah.
Amen. Tell us, Brother Tommy. Amen. What Job said. God knew it all the way back then, how the earth was hanging.
Yeah, right. He stretcheth out the north over their empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing.
Who can hang an earth on nothing? Can you build a house without a foundation?
No.
Hey God, I think you'd be shouting by now. Amen. Can you build an automobile and not put tires on it? Man can't do anything we put our hands to. It's got to have a foundation. But God created all of this that we see with our eyes, and he hung it on nothing.
Woo.
Amen. myself, Brother George, amen, in Genesis 15 and 5, amen, that the stars cannot even be counted, amen.
Genesis 15 and 5.
And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be.
Amen. Can you count the stars, Abraham? No. No, I can't count them, amen. Well, they ain't going to be able to count your children. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. You know how it is, because God blessed his children, amen. Amen. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless Israel, and I'm going to multiply your name, amen. And you ain't even going to be able to count, amen, how many children, amen, come from your name. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Woo.
Amen. Oh yes, the Bible contains rules regarding medicine and sanitation that were thousands of years about quarantine. I was reading through the book of Leviticus a while back. Amen. Read through there. Moses gave them the command from God. Amen. How to wash their hands and be clean. Amen. A leprosy, they put them in quarantine, they keep them away. Amen. God knew all that stuff hundreds of years, long before we ever knew anything.
Right.
Amen. About how to stay well. Amen. Sure. Woo! Hey, I come to tell you, this book right here is perfect. Amen. Amen. And it can be trusted. I said, you can trust the Word of God in there.
Yes.
Oh, not only did it pass the archaeological test, the scientific test, and now I'm starting to get excited. It passes the prophetic test.
Amen.
Thousands of prophetic predictions made in the Bible. Get your second page ready there. Some of these prophecies are quite dramatic in nature. For instance, Isaiah mentioned Cyrus, the king of Persia, by name 125 years before Cyrus was ever born. Amen. God spoke to the prophet. He prophesied, amen, that Cyrus was about to be born 125 years before it ever happened.
Yes, yes, sir.
Guess what happened? 125 years later, a king by the name of Cyrus was born. Woo! Amen. I said, if God prophesies it, it's just as good as in the bank. Amen. I don't care if it's 1,000 years down the road. I don't care if it's 10,000 years down the road. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Amen. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. Just a side note here. I don't want to preach a Christmas message tonight. Amen. But there between Malachi, amen, and Matthew was, many say, 400 years of silence. Amen. Really, if you study it, it's probably about 438 years of silence. Thank God. Where God hadn't spoken through a prophet. Where God hadn't spoken to his people. You talk about a sad time not to hear from the voice of God. You talk about a sad time not to be able to feel the presence of God. Amen. In the place anymore. But oh, hey, I'm about to shout thinking about it. Amen. Sister, amen. Surely, 438 years or somewhere thereabouts, they was just going on what Grandma and Grandpa had told them. Oh. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, I'm gonna feel like shout. Amen. We're still going down to church. We're still going down to the temple. We ain't felt God in centuries. Amen. We ain't felt Him in centuries. We ain't felt Him in generations. I never thought of it like this. But Brother Tom, can you imagine that you divide that 20? They say a generation is 20. Help me with my math. 400 divided by 20. Some of you math guys, help me real quick. How many is that?
Brother Earl, you're the math guy.
20.
Come
on.
And if it's 438, possibly 22 generations.
Yeah.
That's me, Brother Tommy. I've got kids. Well, my parents, you know, my dad's got me. And then we got Weston. That's three generations. And really, really, a lot of times three generations take up, and a lot of times they'll have great-grandbabies, and that's the fourth generation. And if somebody lives to be 80 years old, sometimes they're old enough to see their great-grandbaby.
Yeah.
100 years. 20 generations, Brother George, had come and gone, and they hadn't had revival. 20 generations had come and gone, and it was dry as a whippoorwill. Woo! But oh, that prophesied to prophet by the name of, amen, Ananias over there. Praise God. My mind slipped me. Amen. What was the prophet there that said, behold, until I hold
Simeon.
It? Simeon. Praise God. Amen. Oh, the prophet. And they told him down through the years. Amen. They had told him all the way down through the years. Hold on. He's going to come.
Yeah.
Hold on. He's going to come. Hold on. He's going to come. Hold on. He's going to come. Praise God. And they said that old man of God, amen, was about 90 years old. About 94 to be exact. And the Bible said he was down in the temple doing his ministry duty. He had felt God. He had only heard, amen, to keep it up. Keep going. Keep doing the ritual. Keep going down the house of God. And one day, he'll show up. One day, he'll show up. And they'll finally, amen, Mary and Joseph came walking in with the Messiah, with Jesus. And he got him in his hand. Hey! And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Hey, I come to tell us, I don't care. You say, I ain't felt God in a month. I ain't felt God in weeks. Try 438 years. You can make it. You can make it. Keep on serving. Keep on going. Keep on loving God. He's gonna show up. Amen.
That's right, brother.
Not one single prophecy made in the Bible has ever failed. Nor will it ever, Brother George.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
And never come, it'll never fail to come to pass.
Oh.
Some of the most remarkable prophecies are those related to the Lord Jesus Christ. I gave you your notes. Get ready.
Jesus.
Amen. Prophecy after prophecy has come to pass. Brother Tommy, and every single one of them has come to pass just like it was prophesied.
That's it. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. It was prophesied. There's 17. I give you 17 prophecies. I preached this in the past. I'm giving you proof of it tonight. There was 17 prophecies that was prophesied in the life of Christ, and every single one of them came to pass.
Yes.
Woo. Amen. Do you know there are some prophecies that have yet to come to pass? And one great prophecy is the great return of his coming.
Right.
Amen. And let me tell you something, church. Amen. He is sure to come. The scoffers may be crying up, for where is the coming of the Father? Where's he at? Has he fallen asleep? Oh, no. I come to tell you, he's coming again. And sister Shirley, I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I said it coming again, Brother Tom Perry. And I believe it just could be today. Amen. I said he's coming again, Brother John Turner. And I believe it could be today.
Praise the Lord.
I gave you this so you could go home and read these prophecies. Amen. 17, not broad prophecies. I want you to study these. 17 specific prophecies about the life of Jesus Christ and the birth of Jesus Christ. All about Christ, how he would be. Amen. Well, let's run through them. I won't give you the scripture reference because you have it there. Amen. He would be born in Bethlehem. And guess where he was born?
Bethlehem.
Amen. There's where it was prophesied all the way back in Micah. It was prophesied that he would be preceded by a forerunner. And guess what? He had a forerunner.
Yes, he did.
He would enter into Jerusalem on a colt. Amen. By the way, Jesus entered Jerusalem on the exact day that Daniel had prophesied. Hundreds. You look at Daniel. Daniel prophesied the day that he was going to come riding into town on a colt. And that's the exact day that it showed up. Hallelujah. I was prophesied that he would be betrayed by his friend. Amen. His hands and his feet would be pierced. He would be wounded by his enemies. He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. Oh, yes. He would be spit upon and he would be beaten. The betrayal of money would be cast down in the temple and would be used to buy potter's field. He would be silent before his accusers. He would be crucified with thieves. Amen. People would gamble for his garments. Amen. His side would be pierced. Not a bone in his body would be broken. His body would not decay. Good God, why did it not decay? I tell you why it didn't. Because it didn't stay dead long enough. The third day, he got back up. I said the third day, he rose again. Hey God, he would be buried in the tomb of a rich man.
Thank you, Lord.
Lastly, darkness would cover the earth. 17 specific prophecies that were prophesied, some of them over 700 years before he ever even made it to earth. Hallelujah. Someone calculated the odds of just 17 prophecies coming to pass, amen, in one chance. It's 480 billion, all that. Amen. That is the number of 480 followed by 30 zeros. Listen to this. In other words, it would be like taking one grain of sand, painting it gold, and hiding it somewhere among the 200 million stars and the millions of planets, moons, and asteroids in the Milky Way, then blindfolding a person, sending him out, saying, go get that grain of sand. Wow. All right. Let's narrow it down to 8. Even if you just take 8 of the prophecies, this is statistics now, that refer to Jesus, it can be illustrated by the following. Suppose we filled the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep with silver dollars. We marked one of those silver dollars with an X and stirred up all the silver dollars throughout the entire state of Texas. Then we blindfolded a man and allowed him to go anywhere he wished and said, go find that silver dollar with an X on it. Amen. The chances of him finding that silver dollar was just as good, amen, as 8 prophecies coming to pass specifically like it was prophesied in the Word of God. And I come to ask you tonight, is God's Word really perfect? Is God's Word really accurate? Is God's Word outdated? Is it really available, amen, today for our lives? Can it really change my life today? I come to preach to you tonight. His Word can be trusted.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, holy.
What God begins in Genesis, He ended in Revelation. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
In spite of the fact that it took 1,500 years to write the Bible, it is the unfolding of a single story from beginning to end. 1,500 years, 40 authors wrote the Word of God. Amen. And it's just as accurate as any book that's ever been written. Right. It is more accurate than any book that has ever been written.
Right.
And it's just as up to date as any book is up to date.
That's right.
It's never needed one amendment. It's never needed one thing added to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It passes. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, it passes all these tests with flying colors. If this were merely a human book, amen, it would gloss over the failures of the people found within its pages. However, the Bible does not hide the drunkenness of Noah. It doesn't hide the lust of Samson. It doesn't hide the adultery of David. It doesn't hide the depression of Elijah. It doesn't hide the denial of Peter. But oh, it tells the truth from cover to cover. Hey, I said it's a book of truth, and it's a book that you can trust today. We know what inspiration is, and we can see God's fingerprints from the start to the finish of this book right here.
Amen.
It's a very important book.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I mean, you can stake your life on this book, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody help me out up here. I'm done tonight. This word means it's infallible. Did you know that this book right here is infallible?
Yes. Yes.
What's infallible mean? It's incapable of failing. Yep. Everything the Bible says is truth, and everything it promises comes to pass for the church.
Amen. That's right.
The scriptures are in every sense perfect, and they are a perfect revelation of the mind of God to man.
Right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I was down there at Sister Lucy's visiting there the other day, and Brother Jamie took me in there in Brother Harvey's room, and he had Bibles everywhere. And I didn't know he was a date man. I love date. Some people hate date or love him. I mean, it's hardly any in between ground with date, but I like date a lot. And Brother Harvey loved date.
Yeah.
He has to buy his date Bible. Man, it was all marked up. Brother Harvey loved date. But they said date could nearly quote the Word of God from front to back.
Yeah.
He had a photographic mind. I forget how many thousands, 30, 40,000 topics and thoughts that Dake has cross-referenced every scripture. And Dake is smart. He's probably as smart as a guy as we've ever seen, been able to memorize and quote scripture from front to back. He had a photographic memory. The guy was brilliant when it came to the Bible, and nobody can dispute that. He had some wild thoughts, amen? But nobody can dispute, amen, how brilliant Dake's mind was. And Dake said after 40, 50 years of studying the Word, he never found one place whatsoever where this book was inaccurate or where this book cross-referenced and contradicted itself. Woo! How'd that happen, Brother Charlotte? 40 different men. Let me tell you something. There's not even 40 of us here tonight.
Right.
I could go to Sister Missy and say, Sister Missy, and tell her about a 10-word sentence.
Yeah.
She'd tell Anna and tell Tom. Time we got to Claire back here, it would be a totally different set for us. Yeah. Did you know that?
That's the truth. Yeah.
We used to do that in school as a test.
Yeah.
So you're telling me 40 different men? If I tell Missy that sentence and it gets back to Claire right now, 5 minutes later, it'd be different.
That's right.
40 different men? Over 1,500 years,
yeah,
wrote the Word of God, and not one little jot or tittle of it contradicts itself.
Right.
I come to tell you, it's God's
Amen.
Perfect word.
Yeah.
Woo! Stand with me in this house tonight. I said, stand with me in this house tonight. I said, this is God's perfect word. Not only is it infallible, it's inerrant. What does inerrant mean? It means the scripture possesses the quality, amen, of freedom from error. There's not one error in this book right here. Oh no, when people say the Bible contains mistakes and errors, they are calling out the very character, amen, and the very, amen, image of God himself. I come to tell you, Hebrews said that God cannot lie.
Amen.
There's not one error whatsoever in this book.
Amen.
Not only is it not done have any errors, this book right here is complete.
Amen.
When the Apostle John and John the Revelator laid down the pen at the close of the book of Revelation, this book right here was complete. It's not been added to not one time since.
Yes,
nor does it need to be because
right.
It's complete.
That's right.
It gives us the start. It gives us all the middle, Brother George. Amen. And the end hadn't happened yet.
Amen.
But we know what's going to happen
right.
Because
right.
It tells
Amen.
In this book right
here. Right, brother.
Woo.
Glory to God.
God has finished his scriptures. And we hold in our hands the perfect and the complete record of God. And if you live 10,000, listen to this, lives. If you live 10,000 times and read every book that was ever written, amen, you would never encounter another book like the Bible. In fact, you would never again encounter any other scripture. Amen. The Bible is complete. Amen.
Yes.
Complete. When you read the Bible, you're reading the very words of God.
That's right.
That's right. Did you hear that?
Thank you, Lord.
You can base your faith on it.
Glory to God.
Brother Earl, we can base our life on it. It can't fail. It will never be corrected. It's updated. It's already up to date. You go get your computer, and in 1 or 2 years, it's out of date.
Yeah.
iPads, we was always on the girls. I didn't know this. They got an iPad when they was young, and if you bust the screen, you might as well throw them things away.
Right.
We was always on to them. Girls, take care of that. You can't drop that. And we was always on to them, and they took, perfect care of them things. Never busted them. They still look perfect. But guess what, Brother George? They're out of date.
Out of date.
Right.
They won't update.
Right.
The crazy things, you got to update.
Yeah.
And once they get so old, they won't update.
you might as well throw it in the garbage.
That's it.
Because it ain't no good. It won't update. Right. This book I'm telling you about tonight, it's up to date.
That's right. Ooh. Amen.
It don't need an update because it's on date.
Amen.
It's on time.
Right.
It knows the future.
Right.
It knows the past.
Thank you.
And it's going to help us right now
right.
in the very present. Oh, great.
Amen.
Woo! Well, raise your hand with me right here tonight. Why don't you worship
thank
the Lord?
You, Lord?
This is His perfect word.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we gather this altar tonight? Thank Him that He's given us this powerful holy word. Why don't we get this altar tonight and say, God, give me a renewed love. Give me a renewed yearning. Give me a renewed, amen, determination to study and to learn Your word, oh God. Amen. Can the Bible be trusted a million times? Yes. It can be trusted.
I praise the word of God.